Show right here on KUT Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org, and 1620 AM. Also available with a delayed broadcast on 99.9 FM on the east side of the campus. This is the UFM Show, featuring discussions on the paranormal and anything else that we want to. With your host, Justin. To reach the UFM Show, if you're east of the Wasatch, dial 801-585-3449. West of the Wasatch, 801-585-3449. Or drop us an email at marsam233@yahoo.com. That's marsam233@yahoo.com. All one word. This is the UFM Show. Now, here's Justin.
It is. Whoa. This microphone has fallen apart since I've last been in here. I wonder what happened in the last show. They must have gone crazy or something, because this microphone has gotten off of its holder, and it's just dangling in front of me now. This is really nice. It's like ASU is smashing our station even more by taking the microphone down. It's like they don't want free speech or something. That would be typical. That would just be typical of ASU. You know, seeing how they canceled our funding for this station, so our station's hanging by the thread now of its reserves, and those reserves are going to run out pretty quickly. So, yep, thanks a lot, ASUU. Thank you very much. Anyway, tonight's show is going to be a continuation of the cryptozoology that is the study of the unknown animals and unknown things in this world. That's our topic for tonight. And also, the second hour, we're going to be talking about strange radio signals received from both here on the planet, Earth, and from other places. But anyway, yeah, that's the UFM show this evening. I also want to let you guys know that we do have our own MySpace page, and I will be monitoring that as the show progresses, as soon as I can log into it. MySpace.com/TheUFM. That's MySpace.com/TheUFM. It's our show, our site where you can check out our archives, listen to them on the show, on the profile there. Or you can just leave us a comment on the show or whatnot and send us a message during the show. Send us a fast flash, and we'll be sure to answer that. Boy, this station, this studio is a pigsty. It smells in here. Everything is thrown all around. I don't know what's going on tonight. Just not a good night. Well, it is a good night to talk about the paranormal, though. And you've got me for the next 2 hours. So sit back and relax. This is the UFM show. Just going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with our first research guest this evening, Seamus Irenas. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Doesn't sound right to me, but that's what he wrote down on his card. Seamus Irenas is going to be with us after this short break. So keep listening, Seamus. Hopefully you can give us a call during the break, and we'll put you on, and we'll ask you some questions about cryptozoology, the main topic of tonight's show.
Hello, fellow listeners. Do you suffer at night from poor sleep? Are you tossing and turning all night long and beating your pillow and head into agony? Well, for years, I was just like you. I had trouble sleeping and would frequently rip my pillow apart. You need the new FlatchFlex InstaPillow. This comfortable pillow is so wonderful, you feel like you're sleeping on the clouds. See, the FlatchFlex uses your buttocks as a guide to how big your head is, and once it has an accurate measurement, it will fit snugly and comfortable in any position. The FlatchFlex is not only a great pillow, but it also has the ability to use aromatherapy to gently drip me off to sleep. Choose from such smells as ocean waves, rainforest fresh, Salt Lake smog, Thermopolis fart, or many more downloadable smells right from FlatchFlex's website. Order one today by visiting www.flatchflex.frt, that's www.flatchflex.frt, or dial 1-800-BUTT-PILLOW. Try it today.
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
Just want to let you know that DXFM 99.9 is not on the air tonight, unfortunately, because, the transmitter had a few problems last week, and I was trying to get it up, and it doesn't work. So 99.9 is not on tonight, unfortunately. It's getting repaired, though, so it should be on, we're hoping, within the next year, next year's broadcast in January. The show, it'll be back on, because we have to send it in and get it repaired. But we've got Seamus Uranus. Was I pronouncing that name right?
Oh, yes, hello. You were pronouncing it right.
Okay, Seamus.
It's an Irish name, so some people don't pronounce it as well, but you got it right tonight, so good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have trouble with a lot of names, but...
Oh, it's okay. I have trouble, too.
Yeah. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight, calling us there from Ireland, isn't it? Are you in Ireland?
Oh, yes. I'm in Belfast right now.
All right. Wow, this is our first...
Get us beer.
This is our first international guest host.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah.
Even though I'm here in the wee hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. I'm used to staying up late.
Yeah, it's all right. We really, like I said, I really do appreciate you being on the show tonight. It's an honor, and I hope to learn a lot from you about cryptozoology, because it's something I'm not really familiar with, so that's why we invited you.
Well, it's a very interesting subject, so perfect for your show.
All right. But my first question for you, since a lot of us out here are not familiar with any aspect of the paranormal, what exactly is cryptozoology?
Well, cryptozoology is the study of, animals and other beings that are rumored to exist, you know.
Uh-huh.
They don't have any conclusive proof of they actually ever existing, or some of them actually do. But it's like some people think that the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland might be a plesiosaur, which is a leftover remnant from the age of the dinosaurs around 65 million years ago.
Huh.
And, cryptozoology also covers the Bigfoot in North America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Other animals, such as the mythological Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of the Mothman.
We're going to be talking to you tonight about that, actually, because it's one of my favorite subjects.
Oh, well, I like the Mothman, too. It's a nice subject.
Okay.
And also, I don't know if you've heard of the Kraken.
No, I haven't, actually. What is the Kraken? Could you explain that first?
The Kraken was a mythological beast, and it was like a sea serpent with many heads. They live in the ocean, and if your ship came over it, it would suck the ship down underneath. And many people believe now that the Kraken might have been inspired by the Barkatuthis, which is also known as the giant squid.
Ooh! Oh yeah, actually, I've seen pictures of that, on History Channel and stuff like that. I've watched shows about that, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting, very interesting subject. Now, there's many people out there. Qualified people like scientists and stuff to try to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are credible as well, but some people don't take them very seriously. And it's kind of hard to take a cryptozoologist seriously.
Yeah.
They don't have much evidence other than eyewitness accounts and sometimes some blurry pictures.
And we've all seen, if most of us watch TV, we've all seen the pictures of Loch Ness and stuff like that in Scotland.
Oh yeah, it's probably the most famous cryptozoologist study. I mean, many cryptozoologists get their inspiration from Loch Ness.
And I don't know if you saw the movie Mothman Prophecies.
Oh, as a matter of fact, did.
It's actually a pretty good movie. I thought it was going to suck, frankly, but Richard Gere was able to pull it off very good.
Well, there were some intense parts in there. Like, for example, when he got the phone call.
Uh-huh.
And the voice was like, Richard Gere was like, what am I holding right now? And he's like, the Mothman tells him. that was kind of freaky to me, but I kind of wish they would have gone more into the actual Mothman beast, because he never hardly saw it.
Yeah, he never did.
There's a lot of symbology with the red lights symbolizing the red eyes
of
the Mothman, but throughout the movie, how do you ever see it?
That's true. So tell me, Seamus, why would you study cryptozoology? What's the benefit?
Well, it's like the same reason people study UFOs. Or like Bigfoot or something, they just got this passion that they want to follow, and that's how it was for me.
Uh-huh.
I actually got inspired at Loch Ness when I was a wee boy.
Uh-huh.
My parents took me over from Belfast to Scotland, and we went up to Loch Ness for a vacation to go around there and I remember hearing as a child about the stories of the Loch Ness Monster, and I wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day we were driving along the road along the side of the lake, and I looked over from the window, and I was like, "Mom, look at that! Dad, look at that!"
Hmm.
And we looked out across the lake, and we saw some kind of ripples in the lake, and it looked like a couple of humps in series moving across pretty fast. I was like, "That's Loch Ness Monster!" So we stopped the car and got out and got some pictures of it from far away.
Hmm.
And it was pretty interesting.
Interesting.
And from then on, I was like, always interesting. And I went home and I went to the library in Belfast, and I checked out a bunch of books on the subject.
Yeah.
As much as I could find, and I started reading, and I haven't stopped reading ever since.
Hmm. That was really interesting. I wouldn't know a thing about cryptozoology. I mean, to me, it's not that. It's a very interesting subject, but I just don't know enough about it. That's why, like I said, like why I want you to come on the show tonight, because I wanted to find out more.
Well, I recommend you looking into it. I understand you had a Bigfoot show earlier on the show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we did, actually. That was our very first show.
You know, it's like the same kind of thing. You know, you've had people come in and talk about Loch Ness. You know, it's very interesting.
Hmm. I never thought of it that way. Okay. So, tell me, what sort of strange things can classify as cryptozoology?
You mean what kind of animals?
Yeah, what kind of things in general, like animals or whatnot?
Well, it's all about animals, you know, living biological specimens.
Uh-huh.
Or some of them might be extinct or mythological or rumored. Just like the Jersey Devil, you know, have you ever heard of the Jersey Devil?
I haven't. Could you explain that for us?
Well, the Jersey Devil lives in New Jersey, and some people have said this, they've seen this like weird kind of creature.
Hmm.
It looks kind of like a giant bat or something, and it walks around at night. You know, there's been very many accounts of the Jersey Devil going back a long time, and they even have some sporting teams named after the Jersey Devil.
Hmm. Yeah, the New Jersey Devils.
Yes, exactly. They're named after the New Jersey Devils.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
It's like this winged like, creature that has like a weird, it's got like a lizard tail, and it's got like a dragon kind of head and wings and stuff. It's really a weird looking creature.
So
there haven't been many like tangible evidence about it though.
Yeah, I was looking on, I was researching for the show this afternoon, and I was looking on cryptozoology.com, which is a good site for if you're really interested in this kind of stuff.
Yes.
And they were explaining something about dinosaurs and humans coexisting. Could you explain this? Because that doesn't sound logical.
Well, I don't know if you've heard of a movie called Babe or Baby.
It came out
in the 80s. It's about this sauropod, which is the long-necked dinosaur, kind of like a Apatosaurus and Brachiosaurus, like you see in the movie Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's called Baby, and you should rent it if you haven't seen it. And it's really cheesy special effects, but it's about this supposed rumored sauropod that lives in the Congo in Africa.
Hmm.
And, like, supposedly many people have seen this long serpent-like neck coming out of the water with this big body.
So is that
maybe... They believe it's an ancient dinosaur, but however, I haven't seen much evidence to prove that it's such.
Is that maybe based on a true story, then?
Well, it's based on evidence, you know. It's based on people's eyewitness accounts, which can't really base off a lot of scientific evidence on that. You know, as far as science is concerned, dinosaurs died out, you know, 65 million years ago.
Oh, yeah.
From the Chicxulub impact in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they also think that dinosaurs, after the impact of the meteor, might have died out due to disease, too.
That could be true. There's many possible explanations for the dinosaurs' disease and all that.
Yeah, but the most profound evidence is the
Chicxulub
impact.
Yeah. And that was actually the Yucatan Peninsula area, wasn't it?
So yes, it was.
Because you can look at satellite pictures of the Earth and you can actually see where it might have been.
You can't actually see the actual rim of the crater, but if you do like geomagnetic studies of the area, you can see the crater impact very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it's on land and half of it's under the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But as far as science is concerned, you know, the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Now,
yeah.
Those people who have an agenda who want to believe the dinosaurs are still alive, and I'd like to see an alive dinosaur today, too, if I might add.
Well, we could just
people with an agenda, mostly like the people who are creationists, who believe that humans and dinosaurs still live together now. There's no substantial evidence for that.
No, this is not the Flintstones.
The fossil record doesn't really prove that at all. In fact, it proves otherwise, but...
Well,
there's still people who like to believe that, and it's in some ways it's more of a romantic explanation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those dinosaurs will come back, so...
Well, we could pull a Jurassic Park. I don't know how well it would work, but I don't
know. Yeah, exactly. That would be interesting. I'd like to see a live dinosaur.
That would be cool. I would pay a lot for that. But anyway, what do you believe the Loch Ness Monster really is? And since it's in your area, what do you believe?
Well, I've come back to Loch Ness a couple times, and I haven't seen money ever since, and I've looked at a lot of the photos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you know that one photo where it looks like there's like a long neck sticking out of the water. Have you ever seen that black and white photo?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a classic photo.
Yeah, that's actually a hoax. That wasn't really real.
Mm-hmm.
The man made a little fashion head, and
mm-hmm.
he tied it to a submarine. And he said around pictures of it. A lot of people do that in Loch Ness, you know. A lot of people want the attention.
Oh, yeah.
There's also the scientific aspect of it, too, you know. If you have a Loch Ness lake, for example, Loch Ness is a very long, a very deep lake. You know, it's very big, but it's not very wide.
Uh-huh.
However, if you have a Loch Ness monster, you have to have a population of Loch Ness monsters to support it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Ness monsters were supposedly seen by back in the 550 A.D.
Really?
And by the ancient people who lived there on England. Oh, yeah.
How could... If that...
Go ahead.
If that's how far back they've seen it, why can't we today, with all of our technology and stuff, why can't we find evidence of this existence if it does exist?
Well, I believe that there's a rational explanation for it. I believe that a lot of people have seen waves in the lake. I mean, there's what I saw when I was a kid. I thought at first I saw for sure that I saw the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about it now, I don't think that actually was.
Hmm.
I think what I actually saw was like a series of waves that move across the lake. And if you look at any long lake, just the way that the lake behaves, when some wind blows across the lake, it forms these series of ridges that move pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people mistake that for the Loch Ness Monster. I've seen a lot of people that do that. And you also have to consider, like I said before, if you have the Loch Ness Monster, you'd have to have a population.
And
that population has to have food to eat. And if you look at the fish population in the Loch Ness Lake, it's not that much, you know. There's not a substantial amount of school of fish in that lake that could support a large creature like the Loch Ness Monster.
The photo you are talking about of Loch Ness can be searched on any website. It's actually on Wikipedia right now. I'm looking right at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the Surgeon's Photo, and it was taken in 1934.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe I know it. It says who it was taken by.
Yeah, well, it was a hoax. The guy that took it even said it was.
Yeah, yeah, and it says today is known as a hoax. But actually, Loch Ness, I don't know if you knew this, but it's the second largest Scottish loch.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. It's a very large lake.
I don't know exactly what the first one is. The largest loch.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure either.
Because there are a lot of them. If you go to Wikipedia, you can look at a list, and there are a lot of lochs. So is there a possibility that there could be something else in one of those, even?
Well, if you look at lakes in North America, they're kind of like lochs, like Lake Champlain, between New York and
Vermont. That sounds really familiar, Lake Champlain.
Lake Champlain, there's like the Champlain Monster, or they call him Champ.
Yeah, that's right, I was thinking of that. I've seen that before.
Yeah, there's also a lake in, I think it's British Columbia, it's called Ogopogo.
Oh, yeah!
Ogopogo Monster.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So all these lakes have similar attributes to them, you know. Well, this monster happens to be tied to the sea, but it's a river about 30 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were going to see a creature crawl across the river, it'd be pretty obvious crawling up to the ocean.
Hmm.
Now, I believe that there's a more possibility of something living that we haven't found out in the ocean than there is on land.
Yeah.
For the simple reason that there's more ocean out there than there is land.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it something like a large percent of the Earth is water?
Well, about 70% of the world.
Yeah.
70% of the world is water.
Uh-huh. So there's got to be something out there that we don't know about yet.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we know more about the surface of the moon and the surface of Mars than we do about the ocean.
That would be something that, some science foundation in the United States or wherever should study. Is the sea, you know. I know they've got it mapped pretty good.
There's plenty of stuff to study about the sea. I mean, there's always oceanologists or marine biologists that are studying the sea and looking for new species, and then sometimes they find new species all the time. For example, the tube worms in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually something here on cryptozoology.com about that. It's in the South Pacific, somewhere near New Zealand. I'm not sure if you saw this, but like a new species has been found or something, a new Let's look at this. Bizarre
what kind of species? Does it say what kind of species it is?
It says they're living by the methane vents in the South Pacific off New Zealand. And they look a lot like worms. Vestmerfin worms?
Probably like tube worms.
Yeah, they're...
Same in the Atlantic.
They are strange-looking creatures.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about these tube worms is before we discovered the tube worms in the middle of the Atlantic, most of the biologists thought that all the life on Earth was carbon-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know about that, but if you look at the periodic table and every element that goes up and down in the carbon, there could be life associated with it because it's a stable element.
Mm-hmm.
For example, silicon is on there, and like these, and also I think sulfur is on the same column too.
Hmm. That is
these tube worms at the bottom of the ocean don't rely on carbon. They're not carbon based.
That is cool. That is creepy, actually.
There's plenty of possibilities for life out there, you know.
Where could that have come from?
Well, it's from the product of evolution.
Uh-huh.
I believe.
And it's just the changing times. Do you think humans had an effect on that?
Had an effect on what?
On the formation of these new creatures that they're finding?
I don't believe that so. I believe these creatures have been long around before we have been on Earth.
We just haven't found them yet?
Yeah, there's a lot of examples. We don't, like I said, we don't know about the surface of Mars than we do the ocean floor.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be plenty of species living down there we don't know about. And we'd have nothing to do with it either, you know. It's just a product of evolution.
This is really cool.
Billions and billions of years of change built up on each other.
There's also something on cryptozoology.com about a mysterious, quote, thing was photographed off the ocean of Norway. It's got a picture of it. If you go to cryptozoology.com in the news section, there is...
News section. Okay, I'm going to make it on my inner and really quick. How will I hold my head to keep from going down? Are you playing music?
I am, actually. We're coming up against the break. So...
Oh, I kind of like that music. I can't really tell what it is, but I kind of like it.
It's John Mayer, actually.
Oh, I've heard of him before.
It's hard to believe that's John Mayer, but it is. He's not known for this kind of music, but... Yeah, cryptozoology.com, underwater photographer captures picture of mysterious gelatinous ball.
Now, where is this at on that website? I guess not on it right now.
Cryptozoology, it's under the latest news.
Latest news, let's see.
Scroll down, it's about the...
deep sea creatures, let's see.
Fifth story down.
I just thought it's
underwater, yeah.
Is there still a picture?
Yeah, you click on that.
I haven't been to the site in a while.
It's really interesting. I urge all of the listeners out there on the show to go to this website as well, cryptozoology.com, and check this out.
It's like a large jellyfish.
Yeah, this is really strange, though. This is interesting. But we've got to go on a break. We're going to get back to you in a few more minutes. You're going to stay with us, Seamus, aren't you?
I'll be right back.
All right. We'll be back on the UFN show.
I'm going to put a hot tub in the door for my future. Oh, excuse me.
You sound like the guy from Back to the Future.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yep. Okay, we're going to be back on Cade Studio. And, well, we're not on 99.9 FM this week, but we will be.
Testing me. Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're listening to the UFM show on KU Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, 1620 AM, and online at KU.org. You're also listening to the UFM show on 99.9 FM, located on the east side of campus. Yes, KU is finally on the radio, only it's DXFM. Yes. The UFM show. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I must get back to California.
You know, as the holiday season approaches and everyone is all worried about being politically correct on what to call it, why not sit back and relax with your very own copy of the official newsletter of the UFM show, the After Fart Newsletter. Sure, you could just as easily give one as a gift this season, but why would you want to do that when you could stay up to date on your favorite Thursday night program? Order your After Fart newsletter today, because if you don't, you're not going to have a copy, right?
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
That's right. DXFM 99.9 is not up. But what can you say? We're going to get back to the show right now, hopefully. Come on.
I'm the sun and the air, all the shine is that is tomorrow.
Welcome back to the UFM show. 34 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday night, the 30th of November. I can't believe it's almost December already. This month is not stalled at all. It's just gone by like crazy. Guess that's because we had all those vacations and stuff like that. We're back with Seamus Arenas.
Hopefully I'm still saying that right.
Oh, you're saying it right.
And we're talking
this
tonight.
This sounds right to me over the phone. I can't really tell.
We're talking tonight about cryptozoology, and he is a cryptozoologist out there in Ireland.
That's right, from Belfast.
You're right. I have a little bit of Scottish in my heritage, so.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool.
On which side?
I think it's my parents. Of course it's my parents. Oh, it's my mom's side. My mother's side.
Ah.
I'm not sure.
Well, I think there's a little bit of Irish and Scottish in each of us.
Yep. We're all rural Morrises.
Oh, that's right.
But anyway, I wanted to mention more about Loch Ness. Do you know how deep Loch Ness is, actually?
I believe it's around like 724 feet deep, I think.
It's actually, I'm looking at Wikipedia, it says it's actually 740, so you're not far off. That's the deepest part. 740 feet deep. And do you know London's BT Tower is, right? The BT Tower in London?
Yes, I do.
That is only 620 feet tall, so at the deepest part, that would be submerged in Loch Ness.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of deep lakes out there, you know. A lot of these lakes, like Olopolo in Canada, are pretty deep, too.
Actually, there's a lake in Wyoming, I believe it's Fremont Lake. It's like one of the deepest lakes in the state.
Oh, really? How deep is it?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure, but I think it's like 400 feet deep, or it's deeper, or even deeper than that. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. But it's really interesting, so something could be living in there as well.
Well, is it a glacial lake?
I believe so, because it comes right off the Wind River mountain range.
But is it tied to an ocean somewhere?
No, it's not. Not that I know of.
The chances of something ancient and evident are very slim.
Really? Is that... what the requirements are for a lake to have a monster? Is it be tied to
not well, not necessarily, but, you know, it's, like, really unlikely if it's, like, landlocked, because Loch Ness is tied to the sea with a river that's about 30 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And Ogopogo is pretty close to the ocean, too, and so is Lake Champlain.
Interesting.
Close to the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Well, before we continue, I want to let my listeners know out there that you can send us fast flashes or questions for Seamus, since he is in Belfast, and you can send those over myspace.com. You have to have an account, unfortunately, but a lot of people do these days. So go to myspace.com/theUFM and send us a message, and we will, and I'll ask Seamus for you, and You can ask away anything, and you can comment on the show and everything. We'll read it on the air for you. So a little bit of free promotion for yourself. And Seamus, you're going to ask questions, right? I forgot to ask.
Oh, yes. I'm going to ask questions. I love answering questions.
Well, I've got another question for you then. And we're going to get to Bigfoot in just a second, but I recently heard about a large black cat several meters in length being seen around London. This is also about also from cryptozoology.com.
Yes, actually, living here in the British Isles, I've heard a lot about the black cats, you know. Some people say it's like a relative of the panther or the puma.
I was actually going to talk about that. Couldn't that just be something like a mountain lion or a panther or whatnot going through the cities?
Well, it could be, but I mean, unless the zoo had an escaped cat, you know, it would be like a natural thing.
And
it would have to have originated on the island of England or have somehow migrated there in the past.
This has actually not been seen in London, just in London. It's also been seen in northern Scotland, in your area.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm in Ireland.
Well,
same
thing.
It's been seen all over the British Isles, you know. I've heard many accounts of it, and I've seen a lot of pictures. A lot of fuzzy pictures from far away, you know, you can't really tell. Some of them look like a big black dog from a distance.
Could this actually be something we know about, though, or is it really, really an unidentified species that we don't?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's no documented animals, or there's no biologically documented cats, large cats on the islands, the British Isles.
Oh, yeah?
So this would be an unknown creature if we discovered it and captured some of its DNA. It could be something like the dingo in Australia or the Tasmanian tiger.
Hmm.
Something that's almost gone extinct in the past and now is making some kind of comeback.
So could this itself be a product of evolution?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
every living creature of today is a product of evolution.
Yeah, so say like a house cat. How could that have evolved into this massive creature?
Well, it wouldn't be likely, because I don't know if you know that, but domestic cats have been bred from wild cats in the past.
Mm-hmm. I
wouldn't believe it's been from a domestic cat. You know, there are feral cats in some areas, like in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
But they have rapid feral cat problems, and those are cats that were once domestic, but they were introduced. They left into the wild to their own means. They've gone kind of back to their wilder instincts. But they haven't evolved into bigger, larger black cats like the cats seen in the British Isles.
So that's something that is totally unknown at this point.
Exactly.
Just based on...
That's why it's in cryptozoology.com.
Based on eyewitness accounts only.
Based on eyewitness and fuzzy pictures.
Yeah, and fuzzy pictures. Okay, we're going to move on to Bigfoot now. I know we already went over a lot on our first show, and you can download online on our MySpace page. You can download the entire first show. But I wanted to talk more about Bigfoot with you, since you are a cryptozoologist. What are the chances of some average person seeing Bigfoot? Are they pretty slim to none?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on where you live, you know. If you're in an area where they supposedly see the Bigfoot sightings a lot, then you know, obviously have a better chance of seeing them there than you do somewhere like out in the Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand in North America there have been kind of Bigfoot sightings all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Recently, actually, in Wisconsin there was one.
Yeah, I've actually heard about that. A man was... early morning, he was like, I think they cleaned up some dead animals off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw this creature, like, started messing with the back of his truck when he got into it. And he looked back through his rear view window, and he saw these, like, pointy ears and stuff in the big, large animal.
Hmm.
Now, some people say it was a bear, but he said it was too tall to be a bear, so.
And I was reading up on this, and some people even claim it was like a bear wolf. Instead of a werewolf, it was a bear wolf, like a bear combined with a wolf.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, too, you know. A lot of people believe that some of these animals are a result of interbreeding between species.
But
some of it is very unlikely.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very likely to me, breeding
genetically, possibly. I mean, if you have, like, a cat breed with a dog, you wouldn't really get much, you know.
You wouldn't get anything, in fact,
just
would
not,
you?
You get maybe a gelatinous jaw, but...
just their chromosomes and stuff, they don't work, they're not compatible.
That's exactly right.
But, what was I going to ask? Now... There has been a slew of recent movies here in the U.S. About Bigfoot, and one of them is called Abominable.
Oh my God!
Have you seen that movie?
Have you seen that movie?
I have not seen it yet. Have you seen it?
Oh, unfortunately, I have.
I
being a cryptozoology expert are interested in. I'm very interested in cryptozoology movies and how they portray the animals.
I have no idea about this movie other than I've seen the trailer, and it looks kind of stupid, to say the least. I mean, it looks...
Well, I think you're right on with that description. It's pretty bad.
So I shouldn't waste my money, then.
Unless you want to see some bad acting.
Well, yeah, and almost every movie made now has a little bit of bad acting, but...
Well, this one's exceptional. Bad acting. I think the requirement for a cast was they have to have bad acting skills.
Yeah, like, wasn't Paul Gleason in that movie?
No, Paul Gleason wasn't, but
Night
of the Aliens was, Bishop.
I think Paul Gleason was. If I look up the movie on Wikipedia, I think he was. He was, like, the sheriff?
Oh, maybe he was. I thought maybe he was.
Yeah, I'll look it up on a bomb.
But I know the guy from, I think his name is Lance something. He's from the movie Aliens.
Lance Herkinson?
Yeah, he was in the movie.
Yeah, it says right here, it doesn't actually list Paul Gleason, but I know he was in it. Because I saw the preview has him in it. So I don't know.
Well, I guess I don't know who he is.
And the poster for this movie looks outrageously stupid.
Yeah, and the thing I had about it is the acting was bad. And they also portrayed Bigfoot as a very, you know, carnivorous creature who likes to eat people. You know, that's...
How true would that be?
The evidence out there, the scientific evidence, that's just not true.
Because, you don't have evidence of Bigfoots coming into, like, trailer parks or whatever, or campgrounds eating people. That just doesn't happen.
No, you don't really hear about that.
They're generally, from what I know, they stay away from people. They stay away from the human population, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about this movie, though, because it's one of the few, and there's another movie coming out it's out already. I saw it in the rental center in Smith's, actually. The Claw or something? Clawed? Or have you heard about this movie?
I'm sorry, what was that called again?
The movie was called The Clawed, or Clawed, or The Clawed, or I'm not sure exactly. The poster for this one looks outrageously dumb, too, as well. I don't know.
Let me look out on the internet. Where do you find that?
I'm looking actually on Wikipedia, but I can look on IMDb for this.
How do you spell the clawed?
The clawed? It's the word clawed. Clawed, like C-L-A-W-E-D. Oh, the clawed. It's called The Unknown, actually. They renamed it.
The Unknown.
And it's got like 3 stars out of 10 on IMDb, so it's got to be terrible. It's got... people I don't even know. A bunch of actors I don't even know. But anyway, there's been a slew of these movies coming out. The point is, they're terrible. When are we going to see something that is decent and gives hope to the sense of Bigfoot existing instead of, you know, terribly skewing Bigfoot?
Well, I don't know. As long as you have Hollywood out there, there's never going to be a good movie about it, you know, unless you have some scientific backing of it.
Now,
right now, all they're basing it off of is like what they believe it was like.
Could they? I mean, there's endless possibilities for Bigfoot. You could do lots of movies, and I myself would like to make a movie about this. And if you don't mind, I was going to ask you on air tonight if I could hire you as a researcher for this movie.
Well, if you want an informant, I could be an informant.
That would be good. That would be because I could use one. I could use all the information about Bigfoot because we want to start filming this at least next year or sometime.
Well, I'm always willing to provide your support. Do you mind telling me what your movie is going to be about?
To be honest with you, I'm not clear on the story yet, but it's set here in the Wasatch Range, in the Utah Wasatch Range. And we want to portray Bigfoot. I don't want to give too much away, but we want to portray Bigfoot as a good being. You know, it's not an evil being that is made out to be like Abominable or the Clawed. Show it. So we want to do something different. Like Harry and the Hendersons was a good example of what we kind of wanted to do.
Aye.
I don't know if you've seen Harry and the Hendersons.
Well, of course I've seen Harry and the Hendersons. That's a good movie.
There's also another movie about that. It's extremely bad. It's probably like one of the worst trailers I've ever seen. It's called Abominable.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. I've heard of Abominable, but is this the sequel?
I'm not sure. I just found this afternoon, and here's the trailer for it. So listen to this. Listen carefully.
All right.
This December, from the producers of Milo and Otis and Starman, comes the ultimate in terror. We've hunted it for years, but what happens when it decides to hunt us?
Big change, man. Shook my hand.
Oh, see anything?
Still haven't found any bodies.
Let's check out the woods.
Without a pilot, nobody even gets off this mountain.
Do you know what real love is, Crystal?
Now he's seeing monsters.
It was like a loud boom, like a big fella.
There is something out there.
Abominable. Coming to a theater near you.
Tell me. You like soccer? It's a fucking great ball. I was a fucking good striker.
So that is the trailer to Abominable. Abominable. I just found that online. I thought it was hilarious because it looks so stupid.
Oh my God. It almost sounds like I have a lot of flatulence in it.
It does, actually. I don't know what that was, what they were trying to get across there, but that's... That's what
that's hilarious.
I don't understand what they were trying to get across the point there, but that sounds to me. Yeah, you're right. It sounds like flatulence. Maybe this monster is flatulent.
Oh, that was a good one.
But yeah, hey, gosh,
that's a good one that they had the kids about.
I don't have to find more of these previews because these are hilarious. People make these stupid movies. This is what's getting Hollywood in trouble now. This is what pisses me off about Hollywood, is making movies like that.
Oh, my God.
It's like, I don't know if you've heard of the production company called Trent and Mitch Productions.
No, I have not.
It's like an extremely independent movie, but the movies that come out are like this one. In fact, I think they actually produced this. Trent and Mitch Productions produced this Abominable. And the monster looks terrible. You could tell it's a guy in a suit. So, I don't know.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be watching that one.
Yeah, stay away from a movie called Abominable and Abominable, if you can find it. I don't even know if it comes out, but that's the trailer. God. Why does Hollywood have a skewed opinion or viewpoint of what Bigfoot really is?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Why does Hollywood have a skewed opinion of what Bigfoot really is?
Well, I believe that, like I said earlier, that they don't have much to go off of. They just have, like, eyewitnesses accounts and stuff, so I think it's more, some people like to make more scary pictures, and they're like Harry, that are opposite of Harry and the Henderson, so they like to give a, they put a bad look, you know.
Yeah, and they put monsters flatulence. Somebody yeah. Screaming, oh man, that was terrible. What is your opinion on the Mothman?
Well, the Mothman, I've just heard a legend, as supposedly appears around places where there's going to be a tragedy in the future. I don't know if you've heard of Chernobyl in Russia.
No, actually I have. That's anything Russian, I have to get this out. Anything Russian scares me, whether it's the industrial or it's the movies or whatnot. So Chernobyl, even the word scares me. So, but yeah, I've heard of it.
But do you know what happened there?
It's like it was a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, exactly. And supposedly before that happened, a lot of people started seeing the Mothman around there. That's the same thing that happened around Point Pleasant in West Virginia.
And what exactly is this Mothman, or can it be explained?
Well, a lot of people think that it's like a large, like taller than a man, and it has like wings of a bat. It can fly, and it has like eyes that are glowing red in the middle of its chest.
Yeah?
You know, it's like faces, it doesn't really have a head, it's like faces in its chest or something like that.
Really?
That's from the accounts that say that. Yeah, there's been accounts from like Point Pleasant area in West Virginia.
And there was a film that came out, I believe it was 99 or 2000, or correct me if I'm wrong, Mothman Prophecies?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. You talked about that earlier.
That is a scary movie, actually. My mom cannot watch that without freaking out.
Well, we talked about that earlier, yeah, and I agree, some parts were kind of scary, but I believe they could have done better.
Yeah, it was 2002, actually, and it stars Richard Gere, Laura Linney, and Will Patton. All three of those people are very good actors. Except for Richard Gere. But anyway, the Richard Gere plays a hotshot reporter whose life has suddenly changed after a car accident. It's discovered that his wife has a tumor and will likely die from it. Shortly after his wife's passing, he discovers a strange assortment of drawings she made of a strange creature in other words, Mothman, that they encountered the night of the accident. So you said something about this Mothman comes around during times of before accidents?
Yeah, well, like the legend goes, or the Mothman shows up before something tragic happens. And like the Mothman showed up in before Chernobyl happened in Russia, and then like some say that he showed up before the Silver Bridge fell down into the Ohio River.
And that's what's seen in the end of the movie, actually.
Yeah, that actually happened, except for it didn't happen like in modern times. It happened back in the 60s.
Yeah, the movie, I have to let you know, is set in like the 19... It was supposed to be set in the 1960s, but it was set present time because this actual stuff happened between 1966 and 67.
Aye.
But I have the trailer for that movie as well. This movie is actually professionally studio made Hollywood, so you're not going to hear farting monsters or whatnot.
I hope not. That was pretty funny though.
But here we go.
We were just making sure there was adequate closet space.
Good. This house is yours if you want it.
We'll take it.
Okay. Just me.
You didn't stand it.
See what? She knew. She was drawing angels.
Down here.
Somehow between 1 and 2:30, I traveled 400 miles. I've got no memory.
Past few months, people have been coming up to me and reporting strange things.
Weird lights. Strange phone calls.
Hello? Who is this?
What do you do when someone comes into your office and tells you they saw this in their backyard?
My wife saw some. Drew pictures. Just like this. I'll show you this.
You know what that is?
One day I started hearing voices. The voices became messages.
It was right here. All I could see were these two red eyes.
I met him. You met him. He said, do not be afraid.
99 will die. 99 will die.
All 99 are believed dead.
You're reading my mind, are you? What's in my hand? This isn't just a message. It's a prediction.
Something terrible's going to happen.
People you know and love are going to die, no matter what that voice tells you.
You're frightened right now, aren't you?
There's nothing you can do about it.
Wow. I can stop this.
Okay. That's the Mothman Prophecies trailer. Really scary movie.
Yeah, it's an interesting you play that, because one of the things about Mothman was he was able to manipulate, or whatever it was able to manipulate TVs and stuff and signals.
Uh-huh.
There's an account of, like, a man who was, like, watching TV, and all of a sudden the power went off, but the TV stayed on, and there was this weird, like, shape appearing on the TV.
Uh-huh.
And there was this static noise, and the static kept on getting louder and stuff, and it sounded like the screaming noise, and then all of a sudden, like, the power came back on, but this dog outside started barking at this barn or something, and he went outside, and he saw this thing standing there with these glowing red eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then the thing, like, took off and started flying away, and the dog took off after it, and he, like, wanted his dog to stop, but the dog kept on going. But he was too scared to go after it. I think the dog ended up dying.
Yeah, the dog, they never found the dog, actually. I've heard that account.
Yeah, it's pretty a famous account of the Mothman.
And, see, in the film, he manipulates a lot of things, mostly the telephone. Like, people are talking on the telephone, and all of a sudden they hear strange, like, screeching noises. Did that actually happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's in a bit of caps of that, too.
But how accurate, all in all, was this film Mothman Prophecies, do you think?
Well, yeah, according to, like, it didn't happen in less recent times. It happened back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of this stuff is kind of based off of, like, what happened there. Like, there's the scene where the girl and the guy are making out in the car.
Yeah.
And near the plant or whatever, and that actually happened. Something similar to that happened.
It was actually a TNT plant, I believe.
Yeah, it was a TNT plant.
But in the film, it's something different. It was like a chemical plant, but they didn't say TNT. I remember. And why was this? Why did this all happen in Point Pleasant, Virginia? What does Point Pleasant have to do with anything?
Well, because of that recent tragedy, you know, like the collapse of the Silver Bridge in Ohio. A lot of people think that that was the reason why the Mothman showed up, and then no one's ever heard of Mothman since.
And see, according to witnesses, 46 people really died in the collapse of that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
In the film, 10 people less than that, so 36 people died in the movie, and Laura Linney was technically, her character was supposed to die, she was going to be number 37. I wonder if there was anything, if you could ever find any accounts of somebody who was supposed to die in that bridge but didn't.
Like, well, I don't know, you have to do another research to get Nevada, look back and contacting the people who were originally involved.
And I wonder how they got all the research for this film. I really wonder how Hollywood does these sort of things, because it's interesting. I'd like to have their database or whatever they interest. So, but where else has Mothman been seen since the events in Point Pleasant, aside from Chernobyl?
I haven't really heard of any recent Mothman accounts, so I can't really say.
I wonder, prior to 9/11, had there been, if there was anything, like in New York City?
Well, that would be an interesting subject, because that was surely a tragic event.
Or the Iraqi war, or whatnot. Because I actually heard something similar to Mothman has been seen in India. A lot of these strange sightings have been seen in India, in the foreign countries over there, like Pakistan and stuff. I'm not sure how much of it is true, or how much of it's just witnesses making things up, but it's really interesting. There's something big could be happening, you know. If this Mothman supposedly comes around when only big things happen, then something big could be coming.
Some people believe that Mothman is kind of like an archangel that comes down to warn people of tragedy coming.
But why would the Mothman look the way it does, though? That's the thing.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. But some people believe that.
Anyway, we have got to go. It is the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to take a break and be back next hour with our radio signals from beyond. You're going to still be listening, right? Aren't
you? I'll be listening, but yeah, it's been nice to be on your show.
And I really appreciate you coming on. I'll have to keep in touch with you for the movie. And I would like you to be a investigator and all that, and a researcher for the film. That would be awesome.
Oh yeah, I'd like to be an expert on that film. I could give you some good advice.
Mm-hmm. It has been a very wonderful time with you this evening, Seamus. I really appreciate it.
I know you're about to go, but there's no questions that you received, is there?
No, I actually haven't received anything on the MySpace yet. Nobody is apparently listening to the show tonight, so I don't know.
Are you taking phone calls later?
Yes, we are, actually. The entire second hour, we will be taking phone calls on this topic, cryptozoology. If you have anything you want to comment on cryptozoology, we'll be taking phone calls on that, and I'll try to answer them the best I can. But you can tell us your stories about your personal sightings of either Bigfoot or some other strange animals, or you can tell us your strange hunting stories or strange mountain stories or whatnot. The phones are open completely next hour. 585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449 is the number to call. And thank you again, Seamus, for being on. We really appreciate
it. Welcome.
You have a good morning there in Belfast.
Oh, I will.
And watch out for some black cats.
All right, we'll be looking for them here.
And be careful in the future, all right?
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
So that's Seamus Arenas. I'm not pronouncing that right. I know I'm not. He's going to get me on that later when I actually meet him in person. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with the radio aspect of our show. Scary radio signals from beyond this earth and everywhere.
New from the makers of Head On. Ask On. Apply directly to your butt. Ask On. Apply directly to your butt. Ask On. Apply directly to your butt. Ask On is a specialized formula that makes your ass go away. Ask On. Apply directly to your butt.
Are you tired of walking down the street and hearing nothing but this? Coming from cars and from buildings and everywhere? Well, you need the new Mega Super Arm so you can beat all those people into submission and tell them to turn down their damn music. That's right, because rap sucks and you know it.
Paid for by the Coalition of People Against Stupid People Who Blast Music in Their Cars and in Their Homes. It's just not smart, people.
You know, sometimes, dear listeners, I worry about my health as a young man, and that's why I just started taking this all-new Cold Flatch formula with zinc to help keep me going while on the air. Cold Flatch is a natural zinc formula formulated to keep me going strong every day and prevent the onsets of such pests as the flu and the common cold. It also helps keep me stay regular with a natural non-habit-forming laxative built right in. Plus, Cold Flatch has a sleep regulator which makes my sleeping habits run perfectly with my school schedule and the show schedule. So if you're ready to feel better all over, I recommend you try Cold Flatch. From the makers of Ultralax. Yes, Cold Flatch. Available only by dialing 1-800-KANG-RU. That's 1-800-KANG-RU.
These commercials are not actual advertisements and are 100% fake. You should not believe in them at all. I talk really, really fast so you can't understand me. Be sure to talk to your doctor before taking Cold Flatch, as it may cause such side effects as uncontrollable bowel movements, voice cracking even though puberty is already over with, a strong urge to beat a cat, a desire to drive somewhere, or a loss of sleep or headache, nausea, and vomiting profusely.
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
Well, 99.9 is no longer on the air. Welcome back to the second hour of the UFM show. We're going to be discussing strange radio frequencies, strange radio sounds from this planet to the next. So sit back and listen to Van Morrison's Moon Dance here. No, this is not Moon Dance. This is Into the Mystic. But we're going to be talking this hour about strange phenomena on the radio. I don't know how many of you out there listen to the radio like I do. I'm into radio a lot. And you can call me a nerd, whatever. I don't really care. Radio is one of my hobbies. So I know a lot about this subject, so I'm going to be talking to you today. Ah, shoot. Hold on a bit in the caller. We have a caller. Wow.
Hey, it's Doom Radio. You on the air?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, not much. I've been listening to your show here for a while.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it is cryptozoology.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to your, what was his name? Erectus Shamus?
Shamus Uranus.
Shamus Erectus?
Shamus Uranus.
Shamus who?
Uranus.
Oh, Uranus. Oh, okay, Uranus Erectus.
No.
Yeah?
Could you please turn the radio down?
Oh, hold on a second here. I'll try here. I kind of like hearing myself.
Thank you. Well.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know if this is cryptozoology, but I'm from Wyoming, and, I listen to your station religiously.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we usually go... We usually go up there by the Wasatch, you know, up there by,
mm-hmm.
I want to say up there by Manila, you know, up there by the Wasatch there.
Yep, I mean the Uintas.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, the Uintas, and we go get our Christmas trees there every year.
Uh-huh.
And it's down there by Manila, you know, and you can go pick out trees and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well... You know, we've been going there for a number of years here now, and on this one occasion, I happened to be with my family and my relatives, my sister and her husband and everything like that, and we were out there looking for Christmas trees. And while we were out there, you know, it was starting to get a little bit dark, you know. It kind of reminded me of that movie, what's that called, The Blair Witch?
Yeah, The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. And we were out there, and we were kind of looking for Christmas trees. Well, we were out there and looking, and my kids all of a sudden, they saw probably, oh, I want to say maybe about, oh, maybe 250 yards away, they saw this thing. It didn't look like a Bigfoot. It looked like a man. But this man had a, what they called to me in their description, you know, like a really wild white gray hair, really long gray beard.
Hmm.
And, you know, we were looking for there, and it scared him a lot. And kind of like the every move that we were making was kind of like watching us from afar.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of named it themselves. They kind of named it like the Bill Crotchety.
Oh.
But it was kind of like, that's what they named it. You know, it's kind of like a white Bigfoot.
Hmm.
You know, that's, but I don't know. You know, we went over there, and sure enough, I'd have to say, we found tracks, and there was an awful, awful smell. Just like, oh, it smelled like sewer, or I hate to say this, but it smelled like somebody just went in their pants.
Oh, no.
And so I was kind of wondering what you thought that Erectus Sheamus, what he would think of that kind of thing. But we don't go back up there and get our Christmas trees anymore in that Wasatch Forest there. It's, oh, I know what it is. It's the Ashley Forest up there. But it was it followed us. It didn't make any sound. It was stealthy, looked like an old, old, wrinkled old man, gray beard, gray hair, long gray hair, just like hairy all over its body, and the smell was atrocious.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
And, hey, I wanted to tell you another thing here. Since I live in Wyoming here, just about here back in 2005, well, I'm not too far from Mountain View, Wyoming.
Yeah, I know where that's
at. Hunt up there and fish up there. It's Meek's Cabin up there by there. And they spotted this little boy was delivering papers on his paper route about 4:30 in the morning. And he said he saw a 7 to 9 foot creature, really hairy, run across the road. Now, he says it was like a Bigfoot sighting, and I know there's been sightings up there before, so I just kind of wanted to know what Erectus Sheamus, what he maybe thought of that.
I don't have him on the line anymore, but...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. I just wondered if he would know, because he's, you know, being a crypto...
Zoologist?
What's his name? What, a cryptozoologist?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I got a cat here. He's pretty big, and he's kind of a blonde kitty cat. He's kind of he's got one
sounds
eye,
like,
and...
Sounds like my cat.
Yeah, he's missing a leg, and,
aww,
you know, he's got one eye leg, and he's, aww, been neutered, so he's kind of a poor little fellow, but he's a big man, kind of dumb, and, you know, on the same token, but
yeah,
he's a good kitty cat, yeah, he's just been pestering me here, I'm trying to talk, get down, Michael, come on. But anyways, I kind of wonder what you know about that, if you've heard any of them stories.
No, I actually haven't heard anything about
you
this.
You haven't,
this.
Yeah. You should maybe look on that internet and see what they say.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just a story I wanted to. I wanted to know if what Erectus Sheamus or Sheamus Erectus, what he thought of that.
Sheamus Uranus.
Uranus. Oh, yeah. Okay, Sheamus Uranus. Yeah, I would like to know what he said about that.
But he's not on our line anymore.
Oh, I'm
that.
Sorry. Yeah, if you could contact him, I'd sure like to know if you could put it on the internet.
If he's listening, then...
yeah, I hope he is. I hope Erectus Sheamus is listening.
He should be calling back here shortly.
I hope so.
He'll give his opinion on this Bill Crotchety.
Sure, that would sure help me.
That's really interesting. I've heard of similar things.
That's just what my kids called them. They called them the Bill Crotchety. I don't know where they got that from. I'm sure it was probably from watching that stupid movie.
Whatever the movie's called.
God, I have even forgotten now, and I just told you what the heck it was. Yeah, the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a goofy movie.
What?
Yeah. All right, I appreciate
your call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night.
Oh, wow. Blair Witch Project. People seeing a guy with an old beard in the Uintas. That's pretty creepy. Uintas are not very far from here. But thank you for the call very much. 801-585-3449 is the number if you've got any Bigfoot stories. Or we're going to continue here talking about scary radio frequencies and scary radio reception around the world and even out of this world from planets like Jupiter and Saturn and beyond. My first clip I want to play for you comes from a terrestrial source. It is the GWEN U.S. Navy communications communications beacons. And this is terrestrial radio, folks, so these things are receivable by specialized receivers. This kind of stuff comes out of the U.S. Navy, and it, to me, it's very creepy. So see for yourself. Listen to this. Kinda, to me, that sounds like Darth Vader. But that's the U.S. Navy's communications and locations pinpointing. That's very creepy. I don't know about you. The next one I have is even creepier. This is terrestrial, folks. Keep in mind, this is terrestrial. This is within our own planet. And with specialized receivers, particularly in the band of the band, yeah, there's AM, there's FM. The band of the hold on. Extremely low frequency, super low frequency and ultra low frequency, and even very low frequency. Very low frequency is between 3 kilohertz and 30 kilohertz on the band. That's very far down there. When you think about it, FM is millihertz, and AM is like 530 kilohertz to 1710 kilohertz. This is very low, and this is cosmic debris. And I'll explain to you after you hear this. This is creepy, folks. And what makes that even better is it hasn't gone in through any filtering whatsoever. These actually are found all over the internet. People, the universities of like Hawaii and Iowa have done studies on these frequencies, and they have radio astronomy telescopes that they use. And also in the VLA in New Mexico receives stuff like this. But that is known as cosmic debris, and that is terrestrial. Now, get this. That is caused by regular landline communications such as cell phones and airplanes. Now, think of that binging sound being an airplane flying over and the radio astronomy satellite picking it up. That's pretty creepy to me, anyway. If you're interested in this stuff, that's pretty creepy. Now we are going to go across the globe to Russia. This is a Russian scary beacon. Now, like I said before, anything Russian scares me. I don't know why it is, but it does. Just, I guess since I'm a child of the 80s, it has something to do with the Cold War and the fact that they're different from us in a lot of ways. Even though they're still human beings, they still produce scary stuff like this. Now, what'll really get you scared is imagine hearing that in the middle of the night on a dead frequency, like you're scanning your radio. Say if you're one of those ham radio operators, you're scanning your radio, and all of a sudden you come upon that beacon, and when you think about it, that's transmitting from like over 3,000 miles away. It's very far away, not close, and you hear that beacon. That is actually a Russian. Communications beacon. I don't know the exact call sign of that or anything other information about that, but that's Russian, and that's scary. Anyway, I want to play Sputnik. Everybody knows what Sputnik is. It's the first satellite, man-made satellite launched into the space, of course. And it was Russian. It was like in 1953. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. This is what Sputnik sounded like, and see if it relates to anything that I just played. Now, I can think of October Sky and the students in the classroom listening to that noise. That would creep me out, personally. If I heard that coming over a radio, I would, I don't know what I would do. It would just make me very scared. So now we are going to go to terrestrial radio, continue to with terrestrial radio. This is what a typical AM station sound. This is Como 1000 from Seattle. Of course, there's AM. Everybody knows what AM is and FM is. That's what that sounds like, of course. That's that. And I have an interesting opinion about this radio frequency, the entire radio spectrum. Could ghosts themselves, like ghosts, use this as a method for EVP? And I don't know if you guys remember, the second show we had was the Ghost Show, and I caught an EVP in my room. I'm going to play that again for you tonight. But I caught an EVP in my room that was just recorded by a regular microphone. Could a radio actually pick these up, or could a ghost speak through a radio? That's an interesting question. I don't know. Okay, for those of you who missed the Ghost Show, electronic voice phenomenon, or EVP, what I just said, is basically ghosts showing up on audio recordings of, like, say, a digital recorder, and a ghost is showing up. That's what that was. And that was taken in my room, my very room on the dorms. And if you're listening, the person who lives in 814... I'd like to hear an update on that, the ghost situation. So give us a call, 801-585-3449, if you have an update on your ghost situation there in 814 Sage Point. Because I haven't heard from this ghost since this EVP. I haven't been able to catch it. But now we're going to continue with our terrestrial radio here. This is Earth sounds that's itself. Earth is causing these. They're called whistlers, tweaks, and spherics. This is really interesting phenomena. I'll explain it to you after this. That basically is Earth's magnetic field causing all those shifts and stuff in frequency, and the kind of sounds you're hearing are auroras, aurora borealis. You know that effect that comes around every once in a while. You can see the northern lights. That's basically what's causing that is Earth's magnetic field. The little pops and crackles in there, that's actually lightning from around the globe. And these, again, like I said, they can be picked up by specialized radios that can receive, you know, way, way down far in the spectrum, like ELF, extremely low frequency, and VLF especially. VLF is the more common one because, you know, there have yet to be transmitters that can transmit ELF sufficiently. But VLF, very low frequency, is 3 kilohertz to 30 kilohertz. And mostly it's used by the navies of all the countries for submarine communication, since frequencies this low on the band can penetrate water, salt water, and oceans and stuff like that. So they use it for submarine communications, and this is where they're hearing this kind of stuff, like I just played. And somebody close the door in here again. I wanted the door open. So maybe at the next break I'll open it again. But anyway, the next one comes not from Earth, but from Jupiter. And these are widely available on the internet. These sounds I'm about to play for you, just go to NASA. NASA spacecraft have recorded a lot of actual audio from the planets that they're receiving on their radios. This sound right here, I know it sounds a lot like nothing, but is Jupiter's bow shock. And basically what bow shock is when a spacecraft passes through the magnetic belt of a planet. Kind of like leaving Earth, like every planet, even Jupiter has a magnetosphere, and this is when a spacecraft goes straight through that magnetic part. This is what it captures, sounds like that. A better one right here is Jupiter's magnetosphere. and you hear that beep there at the end, this is from Voyager 1. Voyager 1 picked that up. And what the beep is, or the tone at the end there, is actually the spacecraft's electronics going. Voyager 1 was a spacecraft that was launched in the 1970s and went to collect scientific data on the universe. It's still flying.
Thank you for calling UFM. How's it going?
Good. What's up tonight?
Not much. We're talking about radio frequencies.
Yes. I have an interesting radio frequency that I've heard before. I don't hear it now. But in the past, I used to live in Missoula, Montana.
Really?
And below 530, maybe on like 510, 520, somewhere down just below where the normal AM dial is.
Yeah.
I used to hear these really strange noises, and I'd only hear them in Missoula.
Interesting.
And I was wondering if maybe you knew of something like military or...
It could be, I used to know a lot about this. I don't know why I'm spacing on it right now, but it's like, they're on the coast, line. I know that there's one in Astoria, Oregon, but I can't pinpoint exactly what it is.
Is it like a beacon or something?
Yeah, it's like some kind of beacon that transmits on that frequency.
But then how come I couldn't hear it when I moved to Washington?
I have no idea. Maybe they're very directional. The antennas on these things may be very directional, so. That and
I always used to hear this beacon or whatever it was.
Maybe actually it was something around Missoula.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I know there's some test ranges in that area for the military.
Uh-huh, that could be what it is. I mean, most people don't have radios that can go that far low in the AM spectrum, so that could be very, very true, a military test thing. I'm assuming it's probably like a beacon used by some kind of military source. I'm not sure exactly what it is, because I don't know the Missoula area very well, but you never know.
Yeah. I wish I would have recorded it, and then I could have sent it to you.
That would be really cool. Unfortunately, you don't have it, but thank you for calling.
Yep.
Wow, thank you. A beacon on 510. Have a good night. A beacon on 510.
I'll have to look that up. Wikipedia is actually a very, very good source for all things radio. If you're interested in this subject, like very low frequency, just type in VLF, and it'll show you information about transmitters and all that kind of stuff. Shortwave actually really interests me too. Shortwave is a lesser known band that's like AM and FM, only it's broadcasts across the globe. And how it does that is through the atmosphere. The atmosphere has certain layers, and they use that to their advantage and bounce these radio signals off the atmosphere, and they can be received thousands of miles away. The phone lines are now open, 801-585-3449, for those of you listening anywhere. We want to know where you're listening from, too, where you're calling from, because that helps us with our KUTE stuff, with our test that we're performing here for KUTE. We want to know where you're calling from. You don't have to give us like the exact address or anything. Just tell us the state and the city, if that's okay with you. But 801-585-3449 is the number to call. And, yeah, interesting, a beacon on 510. I'll have to look that up. I will look that up for you. Another terrestrial, we're going back to terrestrial here. I forgot this one. It's the LORAN communication system. I don't know if anybody knows about this, but it's a communication the United States, I think it's the Navy, set this up. To be honest with you, I have no clue, but it's the LORAN communication system, LORAN beacon or something. The United States, one of the entities of the armed forces has this. This is the sound that their beacons produce. And basically it's just a location, you know, airplanes flying over can tap into this frequency and it'll tell them exactly where they are. And I want to play something that sounds almost exactly like that, that doesn't come from Earth. And I'll tell you what this is in a second. That is actually a pulsar. A pulsar. What a pulsar is basically a neutron star rotating a regular star, and these are millions of light years away, but they give off so much radio frequency. There's so much radio frequency coming to us from the stars. That's why SETI is formed, you know, because they're actually searching for intelligent life out there instead of these normal radio anomalies like pole stars, but they do catch these. Pole stars are rotating stars. They're rotating at regular intervals, and they produce the sounds you hear via radio frequency, and they're really interesting. It's really kind of neat to see a pulsar in action. Pulsar. Gosh, I keep getting that wrong. My final sound here is from extraterrestrial origin. It's from Saturn, and these are auroras heard on Saturn. So that is the aurora happening on Saturn, if you can believe it. These radio astronomers had their telescopes pointed at Saturn and were able to receive these. It's also heard on the VLF, the very low frequencies between 3 and 30 kilohertz. This is way below the normal AM band, which is up in the 530 area to 1710, like I said. But that's very interesting. It's used for some
communication. Thank you for calling KU.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you listening from?
I'm actually listening from Arizona.
What? If you don't mind me saying, what's the city?
I'm from Sedona.
Oh, Sedona. Oh, cool. So what's up tonight? Where are you?
I listened to your show. I listened to it this far, and I really like it.
Uh-huh.
But, I listened to your radio waves, and I have a hobby called DXing.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, but and I've heard it. I think on one of the past shows you said you DX too.
Oh, I do. I do actually DX, and I've that ID that I played for Coma 1000 was actually received here in Salt Lake City.
Wow, I've picked that up from down here actually.
Yeah, it's a very powerful station. Right there, that one.
Yeah. I was also wondering, like, have you picked up any Canadian stations from Sedona? From
Salt Lake. Yeah, actually, a couple of nights ago, I was driving back from my acting class, and I heard it's a station on 690. It's called it's CBU out of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Huh.
So
I just wanted, because I said I've gotten CB. Have you gotten CBW from there? From
I don't believe I have.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, I believe.
Hold on, if you can give me a second, I will check. I don't believe I have.
No, it's not Manitoba. Maybe it's Saskatchewan. No.
Yeah, it's Manitoba. You're right. I know that station because I've actually received it from other places. But let me see, CBW. Yes. No, I don't have it. I don't have it.
Huh. Well, I was thinking if I could get down here, you could probably get up there.
No, it actually depends on what frequency is it on. I don't remember.
I think it's on, God, I can't remember now.
Hold on, I'll look. This is really interesting. You're having me look up radio stations on live on the air. Okay, it's on 990.
Oh, yeah.
I actually should be able to get that because there actually isn't anything here in Salt Lake.
You should have a good chance of getting it then.
Yeah, because I know that Radio Disney is on 910, and let's see, NPR, the CPW, KCPW is on 1010. So yeah, that should be an easy reception. I should be able to get that. I don't know why I haven't gotten it yet.
I also have another question for
okay.
you too. I was wondering, have you ever considered getting a ham license?
I've thought about it when I was younger. I just have not had the time lately to, or the funding actually, to buy ham radio equipment. It's not that expensive of a hobby, but I haven't looked into it that lately. I might consider getting one in the future. That sounds really cool. I would like to. What were you going to say?
I was also going to ask you if you've ever heard the world clock on the shortwave radio.
If
you have any recordings of those, because sometimes if you like tune it to the shortwave, and if you hear, I think it's Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it sounds really weird, and I think there's also a world clock in France too that. It could sound really distorted. It sounds pretty freaky if you listen to it. Like, you know, there's some weird noises that you can listen to out there. And I was also wondering if you have any... I heard you play a pulsar. I wonder if you had any more pulsars or any other, like, deep space objects that emit radio waves. There's a lot of them, like quasars and stuff.
Well, if you give me a second, I can queue up a few more.
All right. Those are pretty scary. If you've ever heard those, the pulsar ones. There's other pulsars that are scary too.
Is the Vela pulsar. That's the one I actually played.
Yeah, but there's other ones. I don't know if you know about pulsars that much, but they spin. They're the most accurate. Their spinning rate. They're so accurate that you could time your watch to. They're even more accurate than the world clock in
Fort Collins.
Fort Collins.
Yeah,
they're the most accurate timekeepers in the universe.
Here is pulsar. It's actually pulsar PSRBO329+54. This one's a lot slower than the last one. To me, that sounds like drums, but that's a pulsar. That's a star going in front of another star.
The pulsars are when it rotates. It's like a lighthouse in space. It's rotating so fast because it's from a collapsed star.
Uh huh.
And it's the gravitational. Forces cause it to rotate at exact speed. So.
Well, I'm actually looking up online receivers right now because I know that there is one that can pick up the world clock, and I know that we can hear it tonight. We should be able to hear it tonight on this show.
All right, I think that'd be really freaky though if you could if you look up quasars or other pulsars on it, because those are pretty freaky. And, I'll take my answer offline, but I like your show.
Okay, thank you very much. And
I found, this is called the heartbeat of the sun. The sun itself emits a lot of radio waves. Here, let me turn this up. I don't know if you can hear this. To me, it sounds like a lot of humming, but the sun produces so much energy and light and everything that it's emitting thousands and thousands of radio waves that are receivable on lots of frequencies. Let's see if I can find the world clock signal. That is very creepy right there. That is the sun that you're hearing. And, of course, this one right here really gets to me. This is Ganymede's magnetosphere. Now, listen to the beginning of this clip. To me, that sounds like a terrestrial signal. But I don't know. That is creepy. You tell me what that is. It's Ganymede's magnetosphere. Having trouble picking these up. Let's see. This is all available actually online at spacesounds.com if you want to hear the exact same files I am playing. Here, for that caller who wanted the world time signal, I'm loading that up right now.
Thank you for calling KU Student Radio.
Hey, yeah, I've been DXing on the shortwave band.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got some interference on right now that I'd like you to hear. I wonder what your opinion would be on
okay.
what it is.
Okay, go ahead and put it next to the phone.
Okay.
To me, that sounds like a Spanish radio station.
Really? Is that what that is?
What frequency are you on shortwave?
7.07 kilohertz.
Well, if you have, I don't know if you have the internet.
Megahertz.
I don't know if you have the internet, but there is a website that allows you to search for the current programs on right now. You might be able to find a Spanish
here,
shortwave.
Here, listen to this again.
Okay.
Sounds really weird.
I don't hear any interference. I just hear a Spanish radio station.
Oh. Well, thanks for letting me call in anyway.
You have a good night.
Bye.
Wow, Spanish radio station on
shortwave. And a lot of things can be received on shortwave. You'll be surprised. But the caller who wanted the Fort Collins clock signal. This is going to be off, of course, because it's streaming over an internet. I don't know if you can hear it. That's broadcasting out of Fort Collins. And it is being received right now in Ham Lake, Minnesota by a ICOM radio. So that's the world clock. And what the world clock is basically an atomic clock that can keep time, of course. And it broadcasts this signal on a number of frequencies, 2.5 megahertz, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. And it all comes from Fort Collins, Colorado, actually just north of Fort Collins. I've actually seen the radio towers that broadcast these. They're pretty cool. But it keeps the exact date and the exact time of everything. And if those of you who have atomic clocks at home, that's what this is receiving. It's receiving that exact signal right there, or something to that effect. And it keeps your clocks on time. So that is really cool. It's really scary. Here it's about to... See, that beep at the top of the hour right there means, or top of the minute means it's the new minute, you know. My clock is about 20 seconds off, or the feed is about 20 seconds off. So there you go, that is the world clock signal. And DXing, like that last caller mentioned, I do DX. DXing is basically a hobby of trying to receive stations from faraway places. And it is really interesting once you look into it. You can receive so many things. I've received 141 stations to date here in Salt Lake City. This is on AM only. This is medium wave. AM terrestrial broadcast, like 5:30 to 1710. You can receive anything. And, of course, KSL 1160 is one of my favorite stations to listen to because it's one of the only few I get in the dorms thanks to crappy reception. But... wow. Where did that CD come from? Anyway, we've got to take a short break. The phone lines are open for your radio questions. If you have any questions about scary radio or anything, don't be afraid to ask. 585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449 is the number to call. And that'll get you directly into the studio and directly on air and talking to me. Bit of U2 there, Hold Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, Thrill Me, Kill Me from the Batman Forever. I don't know if you guys remember that film, the Batman Forever soundtrack. Anyway, I found an interesting file that I thought the listener who called in about the beacon on 5 10, he said, I think it was, might want to hear this. See if this sounds anything like this, and if it does, then that's cool. What that was, actually, is a military radar, over-the-horizon military radar. I don't know if that's what you heard, but that could be cool. There's all sorts of strange noises like this that you can hear on radio. This is probably in the upper frequencies that a scanner, a regular police scanner you can buy at Radio Shack, could pick up. So, but anyway, we want to hear from our listeners out there. Give us a call, 585-3449. If you want to just even promote your favorite radio station, then by all means, go ahead and call in. We are waiting for your call. And if you still have a question about cryptozoology or anything of the strange paranormal, we would like to hear from you as well. Traditional Morse code sounds a lot like this. And that to me sounds a lot familiar, like what I heard in the past. So I don't know. I've heard a lot of Morse code, and that sounds really familiar for some reason. Thank you for calling Kate Student Radio.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I have a question back about your cryptozoology.
Okay.
I was wondering what your thoughts were on the chupacabra.
The chupacabra. I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the chupacabra? The goat sucker, the one that sucks goat's blood and people's blood and stuff, it only lives in Latin American countries.
Yeah, it's been seen in Puerto Rico and Mexico, Chile, Brazil, and lower United States, like Texas.
Do you think it's just a myth created by a Hispanic culture, or do you think it's real? Because it only occurs in Hispanic areas.
To be honest with you, I have no opinion on it. I have not done any research on this. It's according to Wikipedia, has been a product of mass hysteria. I don't know. There was a National Geographic show about this, and it says most likely it's people doing the actions instead of a fake. So I'm thinking it's a myth.
And I've seen different pictures of a chupacabra, and they seem to look very different from each other. Some look like a little dog, and others look like a monkey.
Yeah, this photo I'm looking at right now just looks like a cat, actually, like a cougar.
And they're usually pretty small.
Huh. Interesting.
And the name chupacabra means goat sucker.
Yeah, it does. I can see right here. It has a reported habit of attacking, drinking, and the blood of livestock, especially goats. I'd like to think it's a hoax. I think it's a creation of the product of the society or whatnot. I'm not blaming them for doing anything, but it's just a hoax.
Okay.
So, thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Wow. The goat sucker. So there you go. You can even talk about you can talk about paranormal if you give me a call. 585-3449 is the number for the UFM show this evening. Or you could give me a fast flash on MySpace. MySpace.com/theUFM is the link to our show. You can check out our past shows there and send us a fast flash, because we want to hear from you. And we want to send us a message, and we'll read it on air. And we'd like to know where our listeners are calling from, too. I forgot to ask that guy. But anyway, back to the radio side of this. This is really interesting stuff I'm finding here. Let's see. Radio sounds. Amateur radio operators often receive strange things, strange receptions, strange things like this, like that sound file right there. Like that is a marine cell system. I have no idea what that is, but here is GPS picked up on radio. This sounds like a steady tone. Yeah, it's just a steady tone. That's all it is. Huh, GPS. Of course, I guess GPS would have to be a steady tone. Here is a time signal recorded. It's says DCF 77. Let me look at this really quick. DCF. Interesting. It's a long-wave time signal. It is located in Mainflingen, Frankfurt, Germany. So that is coming from Frankfurt, Germany. That sound that you just heard was coming from Frankfurt, Germany. There's your German scary sound for you. Here's another one. Here is right there, what you're hearing is typical voice scrambling here in the United States for like cell phones and stuff like that. That's typical voice scrambling, this sound right here. So that is a lot of these things that you can receive on these radios, that they're scary. They're like not usual things you would hear on normal radio. So yeah, and of course you can pick up regular things like automated weather services, like the National Weather Service has these transmitters. But this stuff is really scary. So if you have any interesting radio stories, or if you're a DXer and would like to give me a call, the number is 801-585-3449. We'd like to hear from other DXers. And if you have any interesting receptions or pickups, or even far stations you want to tell us about, like stations you think I could receive in Salt Lake, I would love to hear I'd love to hear reception or love to hear anything about DXing, because DXing is one of my habits. So, let's see. Trying to find a ham radio repeater that's online so you guys can listen to ham radio, which is cool. I don't know about getting a license. One of the callers commented on me getting a license. I've thought about it, like I said, but I really have no idea what I'm going to do. Probably in the future.
Thank you for calling Canadian Student Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I do pretty good.
Oh, what's up? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was listening to your show earlier, and I believe the man's name was Seamus, and mm-hmm. he was mentioning cryptozoology or something.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised you didn't mention the coelacanth. You ever heard of the coelacanth?
I have not.
Well, the coelacanth was an ancient fish that lived 65 million years ago down by the Cretaceous period. And, you know, it's in the fossil record and everything, and everyone thought it was extinct. But then, like, I think it was in the 1990s, someone pulled a coelacanth up in the fishing net off of Madagascar in Africa.
Oh, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, you can see it on that cryptozoology.com as well.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm just surprised he hadn't heard that, and, as far as your freaky radio stations, if you listen to 1400 AM between, Nephi and it's like right around Beaver, Utah.
1400?
I'm from American Fork, and I have to drive that way many times
mm-hmm.
at night. Sometimes, like, all the radio, there's a lot of 1400 stations or something, and it just sounds really freaky. I grab there, you know. I sometimes hear some weird AM signals going on down there.
1400 between Nephi and Beaver?
Yeah, down there south of Provo area. You know, there's a lot of 1400 stations.
Here in Utah.
But, you know, like, if you get in the point between the station's frequency strengths, you can hear like weird kind of noises.
I'm going to do Beaver, Utah. I'm going to do a radio locator search and see if there are any stations that are actually in that area.
I know there's one in Palawan.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's one in a Provo area too.
Let's see. Not within close listening range of Beaver, there isn't a 1400, but KENT from Parowan,
K-E-N-T, I believe. I think they're a country or something.
It's a Christian contemporary, according to this.
They play some different kind of music on there.
It's 36 miles away from Beaver, so that could be what it is. 1,400, let's see, it's not showing me what power it is. Okay, 1,000 watts.
Doesn't seem to be that strong.
And the coverage barely even makes it to Beaver, so.
Yeah.
I just wanted
to say, if you're ever driving that way at night and you're getting kind of scared and lonely, if you turn on the radio, you might get even more scared, because sometimes when you're driving at night and you're heading down the road and you've been kind of tired, you hear some weird noises on the radio.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you yourself ever heard any strange noises?
Well, I told you between my Beaver, I heard some kind of weird noises in it.
Other than that?
Well, every once in a while, I have to drive a lot at night, and I listen to talk radio like Art Bell and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes I do hear, especially out west of Salt Lake City on I-80,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm driving through Delta on my way to Nevada out by a Great Basin National Park, I hear some weird signals out there on AM, because that's where all the test ranges are. I believe that maybe the government is like interfering with the radio stations there or something.
Maybe they're jamming them.
They could be. Sometimes you hear some like freaky things going on the radio, some weird like distortion or something,
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had to drive those roads a lot at night, and I remember you had a UFO show like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
You see some weird things out there too, between Delta and Great Basin National Park in Nevada here on that road. I think it's 50 or something. They hear some weird things.
Yep. I totally agree with you. There are some... I've even picked up some strange interference here in Salt Lake.
Oh, like what kind of interference?
Well, it's mostly electrical, but particularly up by the dorms, they have a lot of annoying air conditioners, and they kick on and off every once in a while. But whenever they kick on and off, it always sprays interference all over the entire AM band, so it makes listening like virtually impossible, but it's such a weird sound. It's just, I cannot describe it.
Hmm.
So.
Well, I'm talking about out in the desert, out miles from any town and civilization, and you hear those weird kind of signals, and you get tired at night, and you kind of get creeped out. It's happened to me more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Occasion.
Yeah, that is definitely a thing about AM, is that it picks up a lot of strange things. And there's even been Morse code that I've heard on AM when I was younger. I used to DX a lot.
Yeah, I've heard Morse code on there too, and it always seems to be going in the same pattern no matter where I'm at.
And, I used to have a funny thing where I called it Dance to the Morse Code, because it sounded like a song, actually, in Morse code, if you believe it.
That's weird.
And I never was able to interpret the Morse code well, but I can remember the beat, so if I found some software that could do it, I could probably find out.
You ever hear that again? Like, have you heard that recently?
I haven't, actually, and I used to live in Casper, Wyoming, and I don't know if there's any secret military bases or something around there that could have caused it, but I don't know.
That is weird. All right, well, I just thought I'd call on your show and tell you that story about the SEAL camp and the 1,400 Beaver.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, I'll call you later, baby.
Yep, have a good night.
All right, bye.
Boy, he sounded like he was a little bit tired. I hope you're having a good time down there wherever you're driving from. But, wow. Yes, there are a lot of strange radio frequencies, strange receptions and stuff that you can pick up all over the place. Like the other caller said previously, the 510 thing. That is cool. But, wow, time has run out. It is 9:58. We have got to get out of here, so I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank Seamus Uranus for being our cryptozoologist expert on the first hour of the show, and I want to thank everybody who called in. Hope you have a pleasant evening, and we will see you next week with our special predictions show. where we want you, our listeners, to call in and predict what you think is going to happen next year in 2007. Since it's our last show of this year, we'd like you to do that. Or you can send us your predictions on myspace.com/theUFM. Send us a message there, and we'll put it on the show next week. What's going to happen next year, like as far as anything, like governments are going to be overthrown, or wars are going to end or begin, or something's going to happen major in the United States, or a terrorist attack or whatnot? We hope not. But, yeah, that's our prediction show next week, so we hope you tune in, and you have a good night. It's the Thursday night UFM show on KU Student Radio Channel 66 in the dorms, and online at KU.org, which is under construction again. But God save us from the control of ASUU, bastards. Going down,
and the UFM show on the Stuboy Radio Networks. In other words, KUT Channel 66, KUT.org at 1620, and DXFM 99.9 on East Campus. Thank you for listening to the UFM show. Archives are available online at ubstudios.com shortly.
All the sound he appears to make, and he never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Shows his feelings, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning
there. This is Billy Bob on Old I-70 down here by Richfield. I'm a frequent listener of KUT Student Radio, and I wanted to promote KUT, so I asked them if I could do a promo, and they said yes. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that KUT is a very, very educational and valuable resource to our campus, because we got such great shows on here that y'all should listen to them, especially the Best Damn Crimson shows, Monday from 4 to 6. That's a really cool show if you like sports. If you're like me, you like football. So I like sports. The Best Damn Crimson show on Monday. And if you like zany commentary by two guys, listen to Ziv and Alex on Wednesday mornings behind the blue door. It's a good show. That's from 10 to 12. And if you like getting scared out of your mind, listen Thursday night from 8 to 10. It's the UFM show. They got some of the craziest guests on there. Man, I poop my pants every time I listen to that show. But that's not all that's on KU Student Radio. There's a whole buttload of other shows that operate every single week. Just go to KU.org and check out their schedule. And believe me, you'll find something you like, because as a truck driver driving around the country 24 hours a day, I find everything enjoyable on KU Student Radio. Listen online at KU.org, UTV 66, or 1620 if you live in anywhere in around the Union. Yeah, well, I best be going. I'm hauling rice cakes down to Big D's.